Well, good morning, Ken. This is a really special interview today since it's a year since you left FITSED, September the 2nd, 2009.
Hi, John. Really great to be able to chat to you again.
We thought of you especially on September the 2nd as you marked your first year on the road, Ken. Can you remember how you spent the day?
Very simply, on the road, reflecting on the events, the experiences of the last year. And another truck stop for the night, a small place run by a friendly couple. Typical again of so many of the people I met during the course of this venture.
Now, we know you're in the middle of your 3-month west to east crossing of China, Ken, but can you give us a bit more of a picture about where you are, the kind of terrain you're crossing and the weather conditions that you've got at the moment?
In the final throes of the Gobi Desert, slowed a little by some tough, at times unrideable conditions, gale force winds mostly, and a few unsavoury and persistent bouts of traveller's diarrhoea. Much of the terrain I've been crossing has been bleak, open desert, interspaced with settlements, both large and small, that have grown up around the various oases, where you do encounter some surprises. Cotton growing, for example, or in Turpan, the hottest place in China, vine-covered walkways, and a pretty palatable red wine.
That's good. And so, Ken, after a year on the road, what would you say have been some of the highs and lows that stand out particularly for you in the last 12 months?
Just so many experiences to draw from. A late summer across France, the rawness of Serbia, Christmas in a small Bulgarian village, media interviews in Georgia. But if there's a common thread to the highs, it's the people. Not just the ones I've met on the road, perhaps just for a few moments, or stayed with, but all those who've helped make this venture possible, family and friends, for example. And the lows, there's certainly been some tough moments, some dark days battling with loneliness in northern Turkey, or an unexpectedly closed Chinese border. But in a project of this nature and duration, I suppose they're to be expected. But again, the support of family and friends has been a huge help.
One thing which I've been surprised at is the extent to which we've been able to stay in touch, Ken, during this last year. I mean, there's been a lot of email correspondence and phone calls, both on and off the radio for us. Many people around the village are impressed with your strong commitment to communication and the way you share all your many experiences. Are you able to give us a rundown of the kind of comms kit which you're carrying on, Emma, your bike?
At the heart of the kit is my small netbook, essential for writing the blog posts, uploading photos to the website, as well as keeping in touch with family and friends. And alongside it, I've got two digital cameras, one for stills and one for video clips. There's also my GPS receiver I use to log where I've actually been, information that also gets put up onto the website. And if things do go seriously awry, I have a satellite phone that allows me to seek assistance from anywhere on the planet. But for me, the real challenge is trying to use the technology, to harness it in a way that conveys through the website what life on the road is actually like, the highs and the lows, the often gritty reality, whilst at the same time trying to keep it interesting.
Well, that's interesting, Ken. One thing which has intrigued me was that recent blog posting that you put on your website detailing how you managed to gain an insight into a local gay and lesbian community. I wonder how you managed to engage with people to find out these quite sensitive details about aspects of their lives like this, when really you're travelling pretty briefly through these towns and cities.
Actually, my chance encounter with the quite unfamiliar gay and lesbian scene was back in Central Asia. I've not come across anything similar in China, but there again, I've not been looking. Whilst I'm sure homosexuality is quite lawful here, I suspect there are degrees of tolerance, perhaps more openly accepted in the cities than in the rural communities. But I think that's no different to a lot of other countries.
I was listening to a recent Radio 4 documentary on the growth of Christianity, and I wonder if this is something that you've experienced or witnessed on your travels as well.
Christianity in China is an intriguing one, and its rise had initially taken me a little bit by surprise, as has its state endorsement. But I think Christianity is welcomed by the government, it being seen as helpful in maintaining social cohesion across what is a very diverse nation. And that's seen as being really important here. And how do I come across these people? More luck than anything else, helped, I think, to some degree by the perception that Westerners are more tolerant. And I'm always very careful to reassure people that do take me into their confidence, often sharing some very candid thoughts, that I'll always respect their privacy and not inadvertently reveal their identity.
Ken, I think you must be the only person I've ever come across who's been to the famous Gobi Desert. Have you got any particular memories of this desert that you'd like to share with the Ten Radio listeners?
Lawrence Arabia, it most certainly isn't. Mostly dull grey rocks, the odd sandstone outcrop. Really quite bleak and foreboding. And then there's a tremendous, sometimes gale force winds, the sandstorms, the violent electrical activity, and the endless stream of lorries hurtling past. But I think what really plays on the mind is the vast emptiness. True, you can find similarly remote and inhabited regions in Scotland, for example. And yet I think this is different, because it is so open, often featureless. It gives it a real sense of being never-ending. So nothing at all like those old TV adverts for Turkish delight.
Well, that's absolutely fascinating, Ken. Congratulations for getting through the desert like that, and we look forward to seeing some of your photographs when you get back. Lastly, would you like to say what your plans are for the next week or so? I wonder if you're staying put where you're based at the moment and doing some local sightseeing, or perhaps you're back on the bike or back on Emma and travelling some quite large distances for your next destination.
Pressing on east, for there's still a long way to go to reach Hong Kong, and I'm conscious that whilst the typhoon season in the southeast of the country will soon draw to a close, the days are getting shorter.
And perhaps you'd like to finish with the usual plug for the website and a plug for the organisation that you're raising funds for.
You can follow my antics, subscribe to the regular blog posts, see the latest photographs by visiting my website www.acrosscontinent.org, where most importantly you can also make a secure donation to the Outward Bound Trust, a UK charity I'm seeking to raise funds for to support their work with young people.
That's great, Ken. Thank you very much. And as I say, happy belated 1 year birthday anniversary, whatever, for you on the road. Look forward to seeing you in 3 years or so. And more sooner than that, look forward to speaking to you in a month's time. Take care now, Ken. Bye-bye.
Thanks, John. And Anton, of course. Look forward to chatting again next month.